Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. STI. How to change your heart.
Been into the title thing, cause I figured that the next step was buy a ring. Never thought I'd be saying, girl, this is not a fling, or be trying to sing for shorty, yo, my girl, just in case you had a doubt.
emotionpicture.com, and I am your perfectly sane, sometimes host, Victorious, and welcome back to the emotionpicture.com, and Victorious, and we're taking you back to, and to my left, that voice is jet-setting Jasmine from, I think, the mean streets of D.C., literally,
yes.
The mean streets of D.C. Hello.
I am. D.C. is wonderful this evening. It's a little chilly, though, but I like
it. Oh, it's fall. Yeah, I like my new microphone. I'm feeling real good with this right here. I make
yeah,
phone
you sound
here.
Really good.
Well, thank you, thank you, thank you. It's a Polaroid microphone, actually.
Okay. So we're missing someone. What's that?
Who's that? Oh, okay. Shah. I think Shah is shooting some sort of a gangster rap video in Miami or something like that, I think. So, I know he was getting on a 7 o'clock flight. Not sure when he's landing, but maybe he can catch the tail end of Joe. But until then, today we do have special guests. This is, we got therapists and we got doctors in them. We got an author. We got us. We got some of our crazy callers. I've been hearing some crazy stories behind the scenes, so hopefully people do call up and, you know, share with us what they share with me. If not, I'm blowing a spot.
I hope they do. I already see that Penn State Docs got plenty of them in the chat room. So well, she's already talking about a guy that didn't wipe his ass. So I guess that makes him crazy.
That's next week's show. Brothers on the down low. Next important picture.
I'm excited about tonight's show because I think that it can be very funny and it can certainly be a very serious topic.
Yes.
So,
be very scary.
Dating, deranged, yes, scary and dangerous,
yeah.
All those things.
So, yeah, today's show, we even say what today's show is. You know, we played the Gnarls Barkley and everything, but today's show is Dating a Nutcase. That's right, crazy and deranged. And that's not the technical term. That's just, you know, stating a, you know, what's another word for a Looney Tune, Jess?
Nut job.
The professional that you are. I know you. I know you have a few names for them. Off the record. Maybe you shouldn't join in this one.
Oh,
you know,
okay. Well, you know, okay, so the technical name would be someone with a mental illness, disorder, you know.
Well,
you got the old professional mic.
Sometimes, you know, it's hard to figure out. Like, I think we've all had that person, you know, we've had a partner or someone we're dating, and we told people, like, you know, he or she is crazy, you know, and laughing about it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes we confuse a person being eccentric with a person being, you know, from the hoo-ha factory, or maybe even somebody just being a straight comedian 24/7, or just someone that always may be in a bad mood or seems to be depressed or hard to please, you know. And some of these folks, not all, but some of these folks actually are mentally ill, you know. So hopefully we're going to have our guests tell us, you know, how do we, you know the difference between good crazy and bad crazy. All right. But we have the inspiration for this show. I wanted to play this. It's a clip from back in my youth, which was about a couple years ago. And it's from one of my favorite comedians, Martin Lawrence. And this is from You So Crazy. Here we go.
Now, while you in the club talking about fuck them in your fuck them dress, you know what I'm saying? You ain't thinking you hung up on a crazy, deranged motherfucker. So who come walking in the club in their pajamas? I told her my fucking ass gonna hang the phone up on me. Not now, partner. I'll talk to you in a minute. I kill everybody up in this motherfucker. You gonna hang up on me? Look here, woman, get your shit. Let's go. And a girlfriend's like, no, he did. No, he did. Now you gotta play this shit off. No, he not mad. I had told him I was gonna call. Look, I get back to y'all. I gotta go. Bye. You running behind him talking about all I had was a cooler. Now this motherfucker in the car driving. Mad as hell in the car with some footies on. I told your ass don't ever play me like that. Don't do me like that. You in the car like this shit. The windows are fogging up. You nervous as hell. You sneaking right now.
So you get in the motherfucking house, he walk in, boom, he kicked the door open, bow. Man, you walk in the motherfucker, your phone ringing off the hook, ring, 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 who is it? It's your girlfriend. Hey, girl, what the fuck was all that shit about? What was all that about? What you do? Make an excuse for his crazy, deranged ass. No, calm down. No, girl, he was not mad. No, what had happened was, last week, somebody had got shot at the club, and he was worried that they were going to get the shooting this week, and he didn't want nothing to happen to his baby. But I call you back. Click. Now, if a motherfucker is crazy enough to come get your ass in a club in some pajamas and footies, the shit don't get no better.
All right. So, Jazz, woman of the world you are, have you ever dated someone that was crazy?
I have. I really have. I think that it's kind of funny that I'm listening when I was listening to that clip of Martin, because and also how you mentioned, you know, we kind of use the term crazy very loosely, mm-hmm. and really inappropriately. But in retrospect, I think I was with someone that had a really serious, some very serious unresolved mental health issues. I really do. And in the beginning, you know, I mean, sometimes people can work really hard to mask those type of issues. I mean, we all do that, different things that we're dealing with. You know, we don't always let that show day to day. We're able to kind of cope with it. But over time, the more I got to know him, the more I started to realize different patterns. And as most of our listeners know, and of course you know, that my background, my professional background is dealing with, you know, mental health and all types of social issues and things of that sort. So the more I started to learn about mental health issues, the more I started to recognize some things that, you know, were very similar. So, of course, due to his mental health problems and the difficulty in trying to have a relationship with someone that has really undiagnosed and untreated mental health issues, made it difficult for us to continue our relationship. So, you know, that ended, and I don't know if he ever sought treatment or not. So I'm hoping tonight we'll hear a little bit from our therapist about being in a relationship where there is, well, you know, whether you know that the person has mental health issues or they don't. And then I also was with someone that during the course of our relationship, they became very depressed. And, you know, that was really difficult to deal with as well. But it was actually a lot easier because it was recognizable. And then it was also based around the situation. So it was kind of, I was able to better understand it. So that was my experience.
Now,
you?
What, okay. Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? I was going to ask you a question, but I guess it's only right for me to share. Man, you know, and I've never spoken on this before. I was about 21.
Wow, you're getting personal with us.
Yeah, I might get personal. I was about 21 years old, which was about a couple years ago, and oh, man, you know what? I was about to drop the jewel, but.
You know,
caller 347's on the phone. Caller, you there?
What?
I was about to drop it, though. I was about to share all my stuff.
Yeah, right.
Ladies out there.
Bullshit.
But we do have a call on the line. You niggas,
hello,
are you?
Welcome to the Emotion Picture.
Hello.
Yeah, what's going on?
What's going
hey.
On? What's going on? Who's this?
Just listening in, trying to figure out what I should share. You know, tonight I will come under the alias of the Heartbreak Kid.
The Heartbreak Kid.
Okay.
Very good movie.
Yeah. No, it's a code name. It's sort of like a joke, you know. But
okay.
I have a lot of experience with dating all types of women, and sometimes you don't really notice, or sometimes you don't want to notice because you like them, you know. some of the issues that they may have. It's a difference between, I've dealt with someone that had mental issues, like mental health issues, like you were speaking on a few minutes ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried to, like, I became like a therapist slash father slash boyfriend. And that's
a heavy burden.
A heavy burden, you know. And that was about, you know, that lasted about 3 years. So, you know, was a long process. You know, I've had a woman actually, you know, cut herself in front of me.
Wow.
Well, how old you when this happened?
I was about 26 maybe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had a cut herself in front of me, you know, and I'm sitting there, you know, like looking at her and sort of handing her napkins, like, you know.
Sorry.
Yeah, that's difficult. What do you do?
Yeah, and it all was because I caught in a lie, because she was like this specific person. I'm sharing two situations with you. The first one is an individual that, like, really had mental health issues. And another one is just an individual that just was a little rowdy, and I guess they thought it was okay because maybe they were brought up that way, you know, just a little irate for no reason. But basically, you know, I caught her in a lie about something, you know, and I guess the result in her mind was to cut herself or something so that, you know, I feel sorry for her. I don't know what that makes. That don't really make sense to me. I wouldn't go to that extreme and try to, you know, convince someone, but this person did. You know, and that was deep. Then as time went on, you know, you just start noticing little things. I used to notice, like, notebooks, you know, of, like, things written in it and like, crazy stuff, like, things that would make you think this person was gay, things, like, just crazy stuff. And then when you confront them about it, it's like, okay, what are you talking about? I don't know what you're talking about. Oh, I was just doodling. So you're doodling, I mean, creating long, like, drawn-out stories, but it's all fake. Stuff that didn't make sense to me. Like really stuff that I couldn't even explain some of it, you know, really. I could just explain what happened. I couldn't explain what was going on in this individual's mind. You know, but sometimes we catch ourselves, you know, caught up, you know, in emotion, and we start really liking the person, caring for them, and you start really, like, playing the role of, like, the protector because you don't want anything to happen to them. You know, but those are not really the most beneficial relationships for us, you know, in general. Then I've had another situation, which was pretty, like, more recent than that, like, maybe, like, 2 years ago. You know, drop-dead gorgeous woman, you know. I mean, I took her everywhere I took her, you know, I got compliments. You know, she was like a trophy in the case. You know, first pair of Jordans out the box type of thing,
okay,
you know.
Okay, okay.
So basically, you know, basically.
I mean, he waited for the applause, too.
Anytime I meet someone, and it's a rule of thumb for anyone listening, please take note. It will save you a lot of pain and trouble later on. Anytime you're with someone, you meet someone, and you're having conversations and they start telling you about their past, listen carefully.
Yes.
All right? Some things just seem like it doesn't make sense. Like she told me, it was a guy that got arrested because he threw her Zuzu dog out the window.
Told you.
Out the window.
No, now, what is a Zuzu dog?
I don't know any brothers that have thrown dogs out of the window like that wasn't 10, 11 years old. You know, just being honest. Like, when you're a kid, you know, you may go on a roof, throw a cat off. You know, like,
oh.
I'm sorry, brother. Caller, Heartbreak Kid. Are you saying that when you were 10, 11, you threw cats and dogs off the roof?
I'm saying, but for a grown man to get that upset,
talk about that
to
later.
Grab your dog and say, oh, you want to leave or you want your dog, and then throw the dog out the window. So the dog died.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, this person reported this to, the animal care. I don't know the organization names or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But they caught the guy. They set up a blind date and caught the guy and arrested him.
Isn't that on the news, though?
Yeah, it was on the news and everything. It was a big thing. And I dated that woman, you know? So I met her. She told me this story. You know, of course, every time it's always the other person. Oh, he was crazy. He lied to me. He said he had, you know, some kind of Fortune 500 job. He didn't. He was lying. X, Y, and Z, you know. So everyone did her wrong, but she didn't do any wrong. Anytime you meet someone like that, walk away. You know, it's best to, like, really just walk away or just listen to what they have to say and don't get too involved, because I always have an issue with that. But, yeah, so it was that situation. Everybody was wrong. And then as time went on, I started to notice that this person was, like, really, you know, a little off a rocker, you know. Sometimes it can be masked with intellectualism. A person could be usually some of the most craziest people are very intellectual.
Mm-hmm.
They can hold conversations on rocket science, you know, and really make sense, you know. Some of those sometimes be the most crazy, like, individuals, you know, as far as when you really get deeper into their mind. You know, so long story short, I dated her for a few months and I left her alone because, like, little small things. I remember it was one night we were drinking and I was playing with her. I was just toying with her. And I'm like, well, you know, the liquor's gone, you know, whatever. She was like, oh, okay. So she went in the kitchen probably like 30 minutes later and saw that there was some liquor left. She came in the room and said, you liar, you liar. It's liquor left. And it is. I mean, she was like, I'm looking at her. I'm like, oh, I'm trying to enjoy, you know, my little alcohol beverage. You know, I'm feeling nice. And I'm like looking at her like, seriously? Like, and she took it like from A to Z in 2 seconds behind a joke. And I was just playing with you. Oh, you shouldn't have said that. And I'm like, wow. You know, and then it all started really coming to me of why a man probably would get that upset to throw her dog out the window. You know, certain little things that was happening over the time. You know, so I pretty much had to, and this is where the heartbreak kid thing come in. You know, I had to talk to her, you know, so one day we sat at Dunkin' Donuts, you know, and I said, listen, you're a drop-dead gorgeous woman. You probably can get almost any guy that you want. I said, you know, but for my time knowing you, you know, you're a very ugly person, you know, and I'm not really trying to deal with that. You know, so that was pretty much like the breakup point, you know, with her. But I had to do that, you know, at that particular time, you know, just for my own, you know, mental health. You know, I'm just certain things I wasn't trying to deal with, and I'm not trying to deal with it now because of, you know, past relationships with, you know, crazy people.
Now, caller.
So those are my two stories to share.
Well, someone in the chat room is asking, why do you think that all these crazy women find you?
It's been two in the 15-year dating history that I would consider to be crazy.
Okay.
Anyone else, I just was, like, not attracted to them, or I just didn't, you know, we just didn't mesh well together.
But
those are the only two that I would think were really, like, off their rocker.
Okay, so that's not your M.O. or nothing like that?
No, no.
Okay.
The one I'm currently with now is not crazy in that sense. No.
How do you know?
I think all of us have a bit of crazy in us, but no, not to the extreme of, you know, leading towards mental health, no.
The one he's with now, hang up on him. No, I'm just kidding. Thank you so much, Heartbreak Kid, for sharing.
She's born you.
For sharing your experience, and yeah.
Thank you for calling.
No problem. I'm just willing to share my experience. And all of the people in the chat room, stop acting like you haven't met anyone that you thought was crazy. Don't act like it's only me. All right? Share your story.
No, they haven't.
Share your story with the people. Don't point fingers. We all meet them. We all, they're out there. And they look real good, too, some of them. All right? So just be careful, people.
Be careful. Thank you, caller. Yeah, and if you want to call in and tell us how, you know, you've dated someone that's crazy, dial 323-657-1479 and press 1, the number 1.
Thank you. So tonight, as you mentioned, we have some special guests, and to really help us wrap our minds around mental illness, and especially in relationships. So we invited therapist Christina Indar to our show this evening to kind of help us process everything going on here tonight. And just a little bit about Ms. Indar. She is a clinical therapist with 5 years working in community mental health, dealing with family systems, dual diagnosis, co-occurring disorders, clinical case management, and direct psychotherapy. She's worked in Chicago as a clinical therapist with reunifying families and treating mental health illness and substance abuse within the family system. And she currently works for the Pinellas County, alongside the Pinellas County Sheriff's Office, dealing with cases involving children, and in many cases, families that also are suffering from substance abuse, mental health issues, and domestic violence. So we would like to welcome Christina Indar to the show tonight.
Welcome, 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 welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
You are welcome. We're so happy to have you. So, you've been listening in.
I have been, yes.
Okay. And you have your clinical therapist hat on.
I do.
And do tell us, you know, what do you think so far about everything from the label of crazy to the discussion of our last caller and his experience with attracting and really sounding like he wanted to be the nurturer to some of the folks that he's dated with mental illness?
Right. Yeah, well, you know, I agree with you, Jasmine, that I think as a society, and, you know, we do use that term crazy and nut job, and, you know, we use it in a funny kind of loose, you know, context a lot of times. But mental illness is a very serious situation that affects a lot of people. It's very underreported and very underdiagnosed for a number of different reasons. A lot of times, you know, there are stigmas that are attached to having a mental illness or having symptoms of, you know, anything like personality disorder or panic disorder or even, you know, major things, schizoaffective disorder, all very, very serious diagnoses. Or something as simple as depression that a lot of people do suffer from, some more chronic than others and some more situational than others. I think just as humans, of course, life is not perfect and we have our peaks and we have our valleys. And I think that sometimes, you know, a lot of the times the reason that mental illness is not reported and is so underdiagnosed is because there's such a great stigma attached to what that means and actually getting treatment for that, what it means to be in treatment with a therapist, to be seeing a shrink or, you know, kind of the label that, that society sadly has put on that. So
what do you, I mean, okay, so you named a lot of different labels that we hear kind of being thrown out. Someone in the chat room talked about dating somebody that was bipolar. I mentioned, you know, depression. These are words that, you know, we know about schizophrenic and things like that, but don't always know signs and symptoms. Yeah, what they mean exactly. I mean, we sum it all up as crazy, but how do you know, what are some things that, you know, our listeners should be looking for, or, you know, ways for them to kind of vet the people that they date or that they're with to see if they're experiencing some of these illnesses?
Right. Well, you know, something as simple as what can be diagnosed as depression can be, again, acute, it could be chronic. So you could just simply have a bad day, you could have a situation in your life that's going on that you are depressed about, meaning, you know, you're not in a great mood, you don't have an appetite, you don't really want to be around people, you're isolating yourself. And in the best cases, those things pass. It's when depression becomes chronic over a long period of time and it becomes debilitating to your life that it then really becomes a serious issue and a situation that you may need to be seeking some professional help for. So if callers tonight are listening in and they're like, you know, I'm dating somebody and this person is always in a bad mood, there's always something wrong, they're, you know, really kind of down in the dumps and I don't know what to do to pull them out of the trenches, I've tried it all, you know, we talk, I'm trying to be a support, like the caller, the heartbreak kid said, you know, he was trying to be a therapist, a father, a boyfriend to the woman that he was dating, and that is a really, really a significant role to play in somebody's life, and it's taxing on you in the relationship as well.
Right.
So, you know, depression, like I said, can be something that you're able to overcome without really seeking professional help, but when you get into a situation that you continue to be unable to climb out of that kind of funk, as we call it, you know, that's really when you need to be looking to seek somebody and be in treatment for that. So, you know, on the lower end of mental health, that's kind of one of the disorders that's probably the least serious or severe. Then we talk about things like having a personality disorder or schizoaffective disorder, where now we're talking about it's affecting kind of the fabric of who you are and kind of your personality and your relationships with others and how you attach and some of that can be really scary, you know.
Well, what is that
schizoaffective disorder. And basically, in schizoaffective disorder, there's a range of symptoms, and it presents very differently in everyone. So it's not really, you know, you can't really go through a list and say, okay, well, if you have five of these five symptoms, then you're schizoaffective. But some symptoms include unusual thoughts or perceptions, paranoid thoughts, somebody that's always, you know, thinking that somebody's out to get them, or, you know, I actually had a client that thought the CIA was after him. Seriously, like, he really thought they were, like, thought he was a part of the people looking for bin Laden. Like, he had some really, really serious mental health issues. So, you know, these kind of symptoms are more of the heavy symptoms that you see with schizoaffective disorder, along with, you know, schizoaffective has depression, bouts of depression that are rolled into that as well. So a lot of these disorders, when Jasmine mentioned co-occurring, that term co-occurring disorder in mental health means that you have not just one, but you have a couple, at least two things kind of going on simultaneously. So, you know, with schizoaffective, people can have symptoms of bipolar, so they're manic or they're depressed, thoughts of suicide or homicide, so hurting themselves or hurting someone else. So it's a very complicated, mental health is very complicated, and like I said, we use it very loosely, and we use that term in a funny way, but it is a very, very serious, right. serious situation that affects a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you, because I definitely don't want our callers start saying, see, Jamal, I knew you was, you know, I don't want people to
right,
just
right.
start
so
diagnosing. I think sometimes
right.
people have issues.
Right.
A lot of times that, you know, people are depressed based upon certain things that's going on in the household or the community or the job, and they may not know how to see themselves out of those situations, per se.
Right.
And so that emotion is perpetuated. Would you say that would be the same as someone being clinically depressed, or what we call that, just being a weakling, or what do we say?
A weakling. No, I mean, like I said before, I think that it's definitely situational, and it's definitely dependent on the individual. So if, I mean, my number one rule of thumb in clients that I see and generally speaking about depression or feeling, you know, you may not identify it as depression, but you know something is not right. You know, man, I don't really feel like myself. Why do I feel like this? Why do I feel like, you know, you're unmotivated? You don't really have kind of that zeal for life that you once had. You know, the number one thing to do is to be able to communicate that with someone, get some sort of help. And I don't mean running to a psychiatrist or a therapist right away, but let someone in your support system know that, whether that be your girlfriend, your boyfriend, your mom, your sister, your brother, your neighbor, whomever. Because that's really where it starts, for you to be able to communicate that with someone and then be able to get the help that's needed. So, again, depression can be, you know, clinically acute or chronic depending on how long you're having those symptoms. Typically, the rule of thumb is about 3 months. So if those symptoms do not go away within the 3 months, then it kind of pushes it into the chronic category where, okay, now you might need to really be in some sort of treatment, or depending on who you're seeing and how you feel about medications or, you know, using psychotropic drugs to be able to fix that issue as well. So I agree with you completely. Please don't self-diagnose. Please don't self-medicate.
You schizophrenic, boy. I'm not fucking nobody. You schizophrenic.
The best way to really go about that is to really communicate that. And the more you kind of repress those things and hold on to them, the worse they're going to get. So that would be my professional opinion. So all the callers, whether they're listening on the call tonight and they feel like they are experiencing some symptoms of depression or any other mental illness, or if they're on the flip side of that and they're saying, well, you know what, I'm dating somebody, or I'm, you know, I've been in a relationship with somebody for 3 or 4 years and this is just getting progressively worse, it will get progressively worse if those issues are not dealt with in the proper way.
I can say, if you have any questions for the good therapist Christina, you can call at 323-657-1479 and dial 1. Any questions? Take it away, Jazz.
Okay, I have a question, and feel free to interrupt me if there's a caller. But so there's a few things. One is, so you're dating someone, you know, 2 or 3 years, what have you, and things are getting progressively worse. And at this point, you know, you're not self-diagnosing, you're not trying to label them or fix them, but you know something is not right. Mm-hmm. And you want this person to get help. But you mentioned a few things. You said the words, you know, treatment and counseling and psychotropic medications. And I just want to be really clear with our callers. And I know there's different treatments for different things, but can you explain a little bit about, what might be the first step in getting help? Really, what does that look like? Because I think that's another misconception with respect to treatment.
Right, absolutely. Again, the first step to really getting treatment is to acknowledge that there's an issue and to reach out to some sort of support system. So whether that be a family member or going to a local, you know, every city across the country has, nonprofit organizations that address mental health issues. The National Alliance on Mental Health, which is they call NAMI, they're a nonprofit, one of the largest nonprofits, and they basically are plugged throughout the country. There's a National Suicide Hotline, which is 1-800 the word suicide. So you spell it out on the phone. So there's always resources aside from just running into somebody's office. But with that being said, if you are feeling like there is something wrong, then there are options as far as direct psychotherapy, which is something that I do myself, and there are people that choose to go the medication route. You know, I personally am, you know, believe that there are people that need medication that benefit from it, absolutely, that have mental illness. But do I feel that in this day and age some people are maybe overdiagnosed and overprescribed some things? Absolutely. So I would say be smart. Open up that dialogue with the professional that you're going to be working with about how you want to basically embark upon the journey of getting treatment. So, you know, I think that people should be empowered to make decisions for themselves and shouldn't basically